Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
We built railroads and highways, the Hoover Dam and the Golden Gate Bridge. We touched the surface of the moon, unlocked the mystery of the atom. That's the true lesson of our past, Ohio. That's the right vision for our future. And that's why I'm running. For president.
Mes chers concitoyens,
my dear citizens, fellow citizens, French people, the 6th of May have just chosen change by bringing me the presidency of the French Republic.
I can't believe Obama saying, we built railroads, we built highways. We built the Hoover Dam. When you're blowing dope at Columbia University, you built the Hoover Dam? You touched the moon. You just killed NASA. What a liar this guy is. What a fraud. Vive la France. What else is new under the sun? We built railroads. This is the most anti-business president in American history. Anti-railroad, anti-highway, anti-Hoover Dam. Anti-NASA, and the man is taking credit for having built the Hoover Dam and having built the railroads, the highways, and the moon and unlocked the mystery of the atom. The man is anti-nuke, anti-NASA, anti-dams, anti-highways, anti-pipelines, anti-railroads. Are the people of Ohio that stupid? Amazing to me. So welcome back to the program. I've also asked you what you've experienced in buying my bestseller, Trickle Down Tyranny, another blockbuster. And look, of course I'm proud of the book. If it was a dud, meaning if I had said things in it that I was embarrassed, you wouldn't be hearing about it. But I warned you, on the back of this book, which was written a long time ago, I told you what was coming. I said he uses the military as a pawn. Was I right or wrong? I said that our worst enemies are praised, but our allies are stiffed. Was I right or wrong? I told you, under Obama, poverty is rewarded. While successful people are attacked. Was I right or wrong? This is the single book you need to understand not only what's going on, but maybe to make the fateful choice for America that will protect this country. Because God forbid this man wins again. Because with what's going on in France, I think that the anti-austerity rhetoric that you're hearing in America coming from the demon cats certainly is resonating amongst the 50 or so percent who pay no federal taxes. Of course they don't want austerity. Do you think they want their bennies cut? I mean, if you were a deadbeat, let's say, and you weren't working in this country, or you were working and keeping almost all of your money because somehow you're not paying taxes, or you're on a big fat pension, do you know how much money Social Security pays? You think people are impoverished? You're wrong. Oh, if I ever disclosed to you all of these criers about, oh, Social Security doesn't pay enough. You have any idea what a retired couple gets out of Social Security? Your hair would stand up if you looked at it. It's actually one of the most generous pensions in the federal pensions I've ever seen in my life, Social Security. Oh, you can live real well. That's why the gambling casinos are full with all of the people with the diabetes arms, with the hostess cupcakes in the left hand and the gambler pulling the with the eye in the arm. And the flesh hanging from the right arm, the cigarette hanging out, with the cups thrown in, and they're just putting the Social Security money into the machines. The born Obama voter, you think they want to cut their bennies? Are you crazy? And do you think the gambling casino owners want the bennies to be cut? So the little old fat ladies who feed the one-armed bandits don't come to Las Vegas or to Atlantic City anymore? What, are you crazy? Don't you see it's all one giant ball of wax, how it all works? And that's why I say you got to take up something like either knitting or surfing. to get through the future. So now this opens us up to the callers, the wonderful callers of the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255. Vive la France! Vive la France! Here's a guy who never worked a day in his life, a lifetime left-wing professor, politician, anti-business his whole life, anti-finance his whole life, and suddenly all of the non-workers in France, all of the grifters in France, elect this, I don't even know how to characterize this guy, Hollande, but you know what's coming. There's going to be an exodus like when Hitler occupied France of the productive. There's going to be an exodus out of France along the lines of what happened when the Germans took over France. Only now, instead of the Nazis taking over France, it's the communists taking over France. And the working middle class is going to flee because they're going to be taxed out of the country otherwise. Where are they going to move? I would say welcome to the United States of America, but I don't know if we need any more French. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, I think we have quite enough French people in the country. With all of their, God bless them all. But, you know, the greatness of Napoleon has been over for over 100 years now. I think it's 150 years, isn't it, since the last Napoleon? The third Napoleon, the third Beowulf, isn't it about 150 years if my math is quick? Right, about 150 years. And the French are running on the fumes of the Napoleonic era. That's the, where do you think they get their arrogance from? Oh, I'm French, I'm superior culture, superior this, superior this. What makes them so superior? They're actually reflecting on the grandiosity of the Hitler of French history, which is Napoleon. Did you know that Napoleon was the Hitler of his time? Oh, he didn't have death camps and he wasn't a racist, but he was the Hitler of his time. A maniac invader of other countries. All right, whatever. It's too much history. You don't want to hear anymore. I worked it in the middle of surfing. So anyway, I'm sitting here with my toys. I have the 1962 Volkswagen bus with the peace sign on it, love, peace. I'm getting ready for the Obama victory parade, surfboard on the roof. Then I went and bought another one, a blue version with a peace sign on it, love and peace, with a blue surfboard on it. Then I got a 1955 Chevy Nomad, a blue one, a toy in the Rite Aid with a surfboard on it. I figure, you know, I'll have a few things that they won't confiscate. So I figure after Obama wins the second term, they'll take away all of my prized possessions, my paintings, the bronzes I've had since I was a poor child, the cars I've worked for. They might let me keep my plastic $5 toys from Rite Aid after Obama wins again. That might be something that's excluded by the bureaucrats. Plastic toys made in China are not to be confiscated by the new Obama regime. You think it's like I'm laughing here, like gallows humor. You have no idea what's coming to this world if this individual, this wonderful president of ours, should somehow fool you again. Fool me once, fool me twice. Oregon, Chris, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, I am a member of the Savage Nation, and I surf.
Yes, and how? Tell me all about surfing.
Well, what would you like to know?
Okay, where do you surf in Oregon?
Well, that's the thing. I moved up here from Southern California. If you want to surf in Oregon, you're going to have to get yourself a really thick wetsuit and, you know, kind of navigate through the sharky territory and the rocks. So.
Yeah, no, it's horrible because you don't have beautiful. Your beaches are all rocky up there.
Yeah, it's not the best place to surf, but
no, Oregon's not for surfers. Oregon's for like basically smoking pot and hating the government.
Pretty much.
Oregon's a place to hang around in coffee shops and complain about everything, isn't it? I mean, that's what Oregon's become. The land, it was once the most beautiful state on earth. I used to visit Oregon 25 years ago when I did book tours. You know, you still saw the remnants of the logging industry, the mining industry, the people who created Oregon. And then all of a sudden, in the late 60s and early 70s, all of the psychos of San Francisco, the worst of the worst, drove up there in their B2 Volvos or their B1 Volvos, whatever they were. And they destroyed Portland. They destroyed the state with the infected left-wing mentality. Take a look at your senators, your congressmen, your mayor of Portland. I don't know how you can take that state.
Wait, hang on before I go. Mother's Day almost here. Today's your last chance to send mom something really special from the Mother's Day collection at 1-800-Flowers.com. By the way, you can buy flowers everywhere right now. But I know the best, and mom deserves the best. To get this amazing offer, you need to order today. 1-800-Flowers.com is offering my listeners $10 off a special Mother's Day collection. These are unique florist-designed Mother's Day arrangements like Fields of Europe, fresh roses, lilies, carnations, and snapdragons, hand-designed and hand-delivered in a beautiful glass vase. Now, just $29.99. It's not too late to send mom the very best and get $10 off this amazing Mother's Day collection, but only if you order it right now. Plus, it's available for same-day or Mother's Day delivery. To get $10 off the Mother's Day collection, available today only, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner, enter Savage. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Savage in the mic, or call 1-800-Flowers and mention my last name, Savage.
Savage.
I don't want my guests to have to go through the metal detector. You know, the Secret Service does a great job of protecting the president, but while they are protecting the president, they pretty much disrupt everybody's lives around them. So I want the wedding to be celebratory, not militarized.
Apparently, there's no limit to human greed, and that if you don't have leadership, which explains to people that there's a limit to how much a government could do for them and a limit to how much you can tax people, what you're going to have is absolute communism reigning throughout the Western world, which is what just happened in France, and what we have on a minor measure here in the United States of America. And it's been going on for quite a while here in the country. It's just that Obama brought it to a new peak. And now, of course, he's pretending he isn't what he is. Now he's suddenly... Listen to clip 15. Here's the new Obama. Listen to this one.
We believe the free market is one of the greatest forces for progress in human history. The
what?
Businesses are the engine of growth.
Are you kidding?
Risk takers and innovators should be rewarded.
You see how this man is such a liar? I mean, all politicians lie, but this one is embarrassing. This is the opposite of what he stands for. He's an anti-free market. He's a Keynesian, which is government spending. He's against business. It's astounding to me that he could even give a speech like that. Of course, he's, you know, appearing to audiences of 50%. Is it any wonder that I go to a lunch buffet sometimes? Like today I went to an Indian buffet. I'm switching. Because I told you I can't let my blood pressure get too high. I have to ask you a question, though, if you ever gone to a buffet of any kind. Do you know about the protocol of the elders of a buffet? What is the protocol of the elders of a buffet? There's mainly older people and gardeners. Now, they found out, I told you, the workers with the leaf blowers like it because it says, well, you're going to eat hay. And so they really, and the plate looks like they killed an animal in the plate when they get through. They don't just go for a plate or two. You're talking about, hey, why not? Hey, come on in. And all you can eat, $8.95. They look like six or seven game animals were slaughtered just for them. The bones pile up, and the poor Indian guy is standing there smiling as they're lining up the lamb bones and the chicken bones. So, I mean, you know, can't you limit it to two plates or something? I go there, and I have a question for you. Let's say you go on the line, you get the crispy bread, then you get the roti bread, the roti, then the crispy, then the rice, right? Then you go to the next one, the dal, the shmal, then the beans. There's some kind of a bean dish that I skip. Then they go to the spinach with cream, I skip that. Then you get into the heavy-duty stuff, like the lamb, which is basically bone curry. I don't know where the real meat goes. Then you get, of course, the tandoori chicken, which I love. It's always dried out and cold already by the time you eat it. And then there's a little salad. But it's worth it. You know, I don't have to talk to anybody. That's why I go. I don't have patience for restaurants. I can't take talking to anybody. I want to just sit and be left alone. So I go online. Now you come to the second plate. You've eaten your fill the first time around. But if you're like anyone else, you want to go a second shot, right? So you go back. Now already there's six people lined up. And the first one on the line is only up to the roti, or the crispy, or the rice. Here's the protocol question. Are you allowed to jut ahead of the whole line of six with an S-eating grin and say, you know, go to the end, in other words, the other side, and get like grab a piece of chicken again? I mean, you're not going to jump in front of the guy over the rice. You'll get killed. If he's just up to the rice, can you jump to the chicken? is what I want to know. I don't know the protocol. There needs to be like a sign in Hindi and in English, like a translation. In Hindi and English, in our culture, one is not permitted to jump to the chicken on a second dish if there's a line waiting for the roti. Or in our culture, you are welcome to jump to the lamb curry a second shot while you're still only up to the right. You know, I don't know what to do. So I go back. Now it's a horror story. A horror story. I get a polite man, a middle-aged man in front of me with his wife, and he's serving her from each tray. And he's asking her, mushroom shmashahushu. And they're having a discussion over everything, and I don't have the time for it. So I want to, like, jump ahead of them, but they're occupying all the trays. He's in front of me. She's two trays ahead of him. She's not even dipping. She's waiting for her husband to serve her, but she's blocking. Now, I want to know what the correct protocol of the elders of the buffet are. What are the protocols? Are you allowed to jump ahead? Is there a polite way to say, excuse me, there are people behind you? It was like Rite Aid again, but there wasn't even a toy rack for me to buy a Volkswagen camper van. There's no entertainment on a buffet line. There's nothing to do. They got like throwaway newspapers in the lobby. They got like magazines nobody reads, newspapers nobody reads, real estate sections that nobody looks at. There's nothing to do in there. So then I sit down and a girl is on her cell phone. The minute I sit down, she lights up the iPhone. I had to go in the back of the restaurant. So what is the protocol of a buffet? I'd like to know.
Wait. Hang on before I go. Hey, for months I've been telling you, get yourself and your family prepared for the unexpected. I'm saying it. The Red Cross is saying it. Even FEMA is saying it. Want more proof? Chris from Oklahoma writes, thank goodness for wisefoodstorage.com. We were devastated by this season's tornadoes. Not only did our Wise Food Storage grab-and-go container survive the tornado, more importantly, we were able to provide great-tasting meals to our kids and some of our neighbors. I'll never be caught unprepared again. WiseFoodStorage.com provides the most affordable and complete ready-made meals for emergencies. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. Did you hear? Free entree sample. What do you got to lose? See for yourself why I personally use their products. For a limited time, enter the promo code SAVAGE to get free shipping. You heard me. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE. And be sure to mention the promo code SAVAGE. You get a free sample, free shipping on any order. They're great. Be wise and be ready with WiseFoodStorage.com. You'll thank me.
Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
Las Vegas, go ahead, please.
Michael, I'm dying over here to hear anything you say positive. I'm a fan, but I think you're becoming a chronic pessimist. Wait a minute.
Is it illegal to be a pessimist?
We're not talking about law. We're talking about an entertainment show with information. I'm referring people to you, two that I've referred.
Oh, well, excuse me. What do you want me to do? Perform for you?
Mike?
Well, what do you want me to do? Get a string that you can pull from Las Vegas?
Mike, a little bit of positive. That's all.
All right, why don't you give me something positive? Go ahead. You give me something positive. Some nice optimistic music for you out there to keep all your Republicans happy. Can do. Put your mind to it. Put your shoulder to the grind. Put your shoulder to the wheel. Make up your mind. You can win. You're a winner. No negative. Be positive. Think positive. Only positive music and positive news. Everything's good. Everything's coming up roses. John McCain is a good conservative. Be positive. Turn it off. You know, the thing I'll do is I'll rewrite the Bible. I'll call it the newly revised Optimist Bible, because if you read the Bible, it's really very negative. Take Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah, it should be illegal to read Jeremiah in America because it's so negative. It's not positive. It's not optimistic. For example, says, for of old time I have broken the yoke and burst the bands, and you said I will not transgress, but upon every hill and under every leafy tree you reclined playing the harlot. Now, that should not be allowed in the new Republican America. The new Republican America should revise the Bible, change Jeremiah, and it should say, upon every high hill and under every leafy tree, you did recline playing the clown. And then the next passage says, yet I had planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant? No good. That gets people in Las Vegas unhappy. So we're going to revise that into a newly revised Optimist Bible. And the phrase in Jeremiah will now say, I had planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into the happy clown? See, this way everybody will be much happier. We have the can-do spirit here in America. We have to think Ronald Reagan. We have to think pioneers. We have to think cowboys and Indians. We have to think conquering Hitler. We must never allow a negative thought in our mind because it's very, very bad for the economy. We must be positive. Arbeit macht frei. Every morning, go to work and say to yourself, work makes you free. That's what we need is positive. Positive. Positive, I say. We're going to outlaw negativity in America. That's right. In the new America, negativity will be outlawed. And the Old Testament, particularly Jeremiah, will be burned because it is oh so negative. No Isaiah, no Jeremiah, no Judges, no Ecclesiastes, no Numbers, no Leviticus, no Exodus. Too negative, I say. Out with thee, out with thee. Okay, I'll be positive. People have requested that I be positive. I guess I try to be positive. I don't know how to be positive. Well, okay, let's start with this. This morning when I was making tea, I said to myself, your one mistake in 2007 was that you forgot to be thankful to God for all the gifts that you have been given. That's hard for me because I fundamentally am not that kind of guy who gets up and I say every morning, thank God for what I have. I should. I admit that. So I said, if you could wake up every day and say, you know what, look at what you have. See, I personally don't want anything. Let me start with me. I don't want any more success. I don't need another bestseller. I'm not boasting now. Please don't take it the wrong way. I don't want anything right now for myself. That's not what's making me unhappy. I'm not like resentful. I'm not like unhappy that I don't have this or I don't have that. I don't want anything. All I am asking, first of all, I wanted to say thank you for giving me what I give because I told you how this happened. I don't want to go, it sounds hokey. Things had gone really, really, really wrong for me 15 years ago. No matter what I did, everything went wrong in my life. I mean, in terms of career-wise. It was no one, I was like a wildcatter. I had turned it into a family joke. I said to myself, you know what? I'm like a wildcatter who keeps drilling for wells and keeps coming up with dry holes. I said, but don't accuse me of ever having stopped throwing down those, you know, drilling. I drilled 1,000 wells and they wouldn't come up because the cards were stacked against me because I wasn't the right race. You get it? So anyway, but the long story is I made a prayer. I said to God, please, God, I've worked so hard. I can't take it anymore. I don't even want to tell you. I was 50 years old, and I had almost tapped out. I was ready to tap out and check out. I couldn't take it anymore because no matter which way I turned, they said white males need not apply. I got to tell you, on the MS, that's what I'm telling you. That's the way it was. Everything was like that. So then I made the tapes, and I said, God, please, just give me a living. That's all I ask you for. I don't want to win the lottery. I said, oh, please give me a living. I've tried so hard. I've done so many good things. Why are you doing this to me? And then when I stopped saying, why are you doing this to me, and said, only please give me a living, radio came along. Now, here's the interesting thing. It didn't come to me like in a lottery winning. You ask anybody who knows me going back to the first radio show. I have had to crawl on broken glass. I had to walk through fire. I had to jump hurdles in order to get where I am. Everyone knows that. And in order to keep this thing alive called the Savage Nation, it's an enormous, enormous challenge to do this correctly or as best as you can every day. 3 hours a day, like clockwork, get up every day and train for it, run for it, eat for it, sleep for it. Plan for it, because if you miss that curtain call or you get into the wrong state of mind by the time that 06 hits, you're out of business, kiddo. This business is a business that you can die with one wrong sentence, as you well know, with all of the left-wing fascists out there trying to trip you up,
because we no longer live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. We live in a different country today. We live in a totally different Soviet-style America. But I'm up for the task. I'll bury them before they bury me. I will put them in an orange jumpsuit before they put me in one. I will get them out of business before they get me out of business. I can guarantee you. I can guarantee you people have left the political arena who you thought would be around forever, and I told you they wouldn't be around. People have left this campaign who I knew didn't stand a chance in you-know-where to get anywhere, and I knew they were doing it just for the publicity. They're gone. They're gone, not with the wind. They're gone like dust in the wind. What I'm saying to you is there's a lot to be thankful for. But when God answers your prayers, whatever they may be, it often comes with a burden. It's not the lottery. You don't get X, you know, millions of dollars a year for nothing. You got to work it. You got to give back. So that's the whole message that I got to remember is give back. So I want to go through one more thing. I don't know where this soul searching has come from. So what kind of sports do I like? What am I going to do, go boating 7 days a week? Like a yucca puck with a captain's hat? I'm going to ride around tooting my horn with a dog? What kind of life is that? I'm going to travel? I've done more traveling than any human being should ever want to do. I did it when I was young. I've been a lot of places. I've done a lot of things. But I didn't just travel for travel's sake. I traveled to collect medicinal plants. The collections unto themselves are worthy of a life's work. They were put into herbaria all over the world. Unto itself, I never talk about that. Is it as good as Jonas Salk inventing the polio vaccine? No, but it's a significant little step in science that I made. What I'm saying is I could do that. I could go back to collecting plants as a hobby. But I said, I don't really want to do that anymore. I did it. I don't want that isolation and loneliness on islands anymore, sitting alone on islands with people I don't really understand and in villages every night. You ask anyone who's actually really done it, there's no romanticism involved. It's very, very difficult, and it's very soul-wrenching to sit in a strange village on a straw mat at night, night after night. It's not a lot of fun. When you're young, maybe you can imagine it's kind of a romantic thing to do, but when you are at a different point in your life, there's no romance in it. So the point I'm making, in a long story short, is that there was nothing that I really wanted to do outside of what I have been doing for these last 15 years. And that is, look at the political machine as it goes by, watch America as it goes by, and try to make a difference. Now, am I imagining that I've made a difference? No, I'll tell you, we've had some real victories. For that little film critic with the insignificant show with no ratings who thinks that the conservative movement is dead, let me remind the little film critic that this show stopped the Dubai ports deal. Does that mean the conservative movement is dead, Mr. Film Critic? This little show stopped the illegal immigration amnesty bill. We stopped it dead in its tracks. Not just this show, but this was the pounding drum of the anti-illegal immigration amnesty movement. Did you hear what I just said to you? We've had two or three really big victories on this radio show. And what I'm saying to you is, there are other things we might be able to do, both negative and positive, to save this country, to put it back on its course, to pray to God that somebody comes along who is worthy of the title president. It's possible this little show could have some influence on that. You say, well, are you being a megalomaniac? What influence can you have? Nobody ever refers to you. You don't exist, Michael.
Savage.
I don't have a typical situation. One of the virtues of celebrity is my fundraising capacity is higher just because I get a lot of attention. And so it's not entirely fair, but I don't have to go and just work the phones.
I'm a big bread lover. I'm not one of those anti-carb people. Ask anyone who knows me, I could live on spaghetti three times a day. I eat bread. Oh, what are you eating on that bread then? I say, get back to me when you're my age. You know what I mean? You know, get back to me when you're my age and tell me, give me a health tip. So my mother loved bread. She lived to 88. God bless her. So here's a bread I just bought today. I'm not going to read the brand. I love it. It's a sweet baguette. I'm going to give you an example. And my point was is that the higher the quotient of liberals, the better the bread. In other words, wherever you go in America, if the community has a high density of liberals, you get phenomenal bread and great coffees. Tremendous variety. But if you go to very conservative areas, terrible bread, terrible coffee. Can't find it. One coffee, one type of coffee. And usually the worst bread, it's inedible bread. I actually start climbing the walls in Florida. Maybe in Miami there's a bakery. There's enough Jews moved down from New York or something. I don't know. Because you can't get bread in the area that I'm up in Florida. It's impossible. It's all white bread. Even the Italian restaurants, there's a funny thing. I was on an avenue in one of the towns, and I was telling an Italian guy, I can't get a bread. He said, well, we make it. He gave it to me. I bought it at $3. It was horrible. It's just like, you know, popping toast kind of thing. Awful. No taste. So this bread that I have in my hand is delicious. And the guy says, when asked by our customers and friends, what should I do with my leftover baguette the next day? Here are some suggestions. One, pop in the oven, toast it, and spread with your favorite topping. Two, slice into small pieces, let dry, use as croutons. Three, after 3 days of drying, grate and use as breadcrumbs. Four, after 4 days of drying, use to pound nails or add to your rock collection. You have to laugh at that. Because you ever seen bread 3 or 4 days later? It's unbelievable. So you ask yourself, why does bread become so hard after 3 days? Well, obviously, it gets dehydrated. Just as if you get dehydrated, you become hard as a rock, right? To recapture that fresh out-of-the-oven taste, just sprinkle baguettes with water. Here's an interesting one. Place in preheated hot oven, 425 degrees. See, not 350. 4 1/4 for 5 minutes. Eat while hot and enjoy. All right, see, it's 4 1/4. It's not 350. It's important to know. But I want you to study what I just said to you. The higher the quotient of liberals in the community, the worse the bread and the worse the coffee. Check it out. You know it's true in America. Wherever you go, you're going to say, how did Savage figure that out? Well, because I travel and I like bread and coffee. In fact, I just switched coffee brands. For a long while, I was using these beans from Italy. You know, whatever. It's in this machine I bought. So you get the Lavada, whatever it's called, that blue bag. Who knows? It wasn't that good. Wasn't that bad. You know, yeah, whatever. Then I started. I know this is sacrilege. I shouldn't admit to it. But I was buying Blonde Roast from Starbucks because their Blonde Roast actually was drinkable. Their general coffee was horrible. Dishwater garbage. Institutional. It was terrible. It was like the Lipton tea, pardon me, of coffee. Starbucks is like the Lipton tea of coffee. No, nothing wrong with it, but it's like basically, you know, generic coffee. So then they came out with the brand. So I started the Blonde Roast. Then I got tired. So now I went and got back like where I started. I went to Safeway, went to the Mocha Java bean. I got Mocha Java. It does. It tastes different. Totally different. But I ruined it with soy milk this morning. I don't put milk in it because I don't use dairy, but I got tired of the black coffee in the morning. I like almond milk. I tell you that unsweetened almond milk is amazing. Did I tell you about almonds? The theory on almonds and lima beans and apple seeds. You know about that? Did I tell you why it's important to eat those foods? Did you hear all of this or not? I'll give it to you a little health tip in the middle of everything else. And then you decide whether or not it's a crackpot idea, okay? And I'm going to tell you where the theory comes from. All right, lima beans. I happen to love lima beans. You can't get them. No one makes them anymore. They used to be a fairly big staple in the American diet, particularly on ranches and farms. If they're cooked properly, they have to be cooked very soft. Americans have an obsession with not cooking things enough and with eating raw foods, which is crazy. Like sushi. I mean, fish is contaminated. I've known this for 30 years, that raw fish is very often contaminated with small invisible worms. You should know that the next time you want to be ethnically appropriate and look like you're doing something good for humanity by eating Fukushima sushi. I go in a restaurant, I order fish. How would you like it cooked? I said, cooked. They're going to look at me. What do you mean? No pink, no red. No cooking school fish, if you don't mind. Cook it the way I like it. Cook it all the way through. Don't turn it into rubber. It's an art. You make it soft, but you cook it all the way through. You got it? Yes, it comes back pink in the middle because it's San Francisco where the bread is good and the coffee is great. They don't know how to cook in this city. Nevertheless, people tend to overcook things wherever you go. Undercook things. So lima beans have to be cooked till they're very soft. All beans should be cooked till they're soft. Now, why are lima beans and almonds and apple seeds healthful? Okay, I didn't say healthy. That's the wrong use of a word. I can't stand illiteracy. So when you read things, oh, it's healthy. That means that you mean the seed is healthy? We don't care if it's a healthy seed. It means the seed is healthful. It's full of health for you. Get it? Use the proper word. That thing, you know, whatever item you need, Johnny, it's healthful, not it's healthy. Because, see what I mean? You want Johnny to be healthy, but you want the thing that he's eating to be healthful so he can be healthy. Let's try to restore America to the pre-Al Sharpton days when literacy reigned, before MSNBC was run by Pil Griffin. All right, so what do these foods contain? They contain small amounts of HCN, hydrocyanic acid. What's hydrocyanic acid? It's a form of cyanide. Oh, savage, why would I want to take cyanide in my body? Here's why, ladies and gentlemen. Because it's well known that all of us have cancer cells forever floating around in our bodies. That's well known. Yeah, don't get scared, but a lot of things go on underneath the surface that you're not aware of. It's one of the reasons I always love biology. And one of the things that goes on under the surface that we're not aware of is that your body is constantly monitoring, catching, and killing cancer cells. And when the point is reached where it can't, a tumor develops. I mean, in plain, simple English, that's how it works. So you want to maintain your immune system. You want to make sure your immune system is at its highest level. You don't want to ingest carcinogens. You don't want to smoke cigarettes or marijuana. You don't want to ingest foods that are cooked on a barbecue, that are blackened on a regular basis, etc. Common sense, right? Okay. So if you eat lima beans and apple seeds when you're eating the apple, and again, almonds, I got off on this tangent when I was talking about almond milk, they all contain small amounts of HCN, which is cyanide. So your body has free-floating cancer cells that are always looking to kind of plant themselves in your body. Your immune system is looking to catch them, encapsulate them, dissolve them, or whatever your systems might be doing to that particular cancer cell. Cancer cells metabolize at a faster rate than the average human cell. In other words, they need more oxygen than the average cell. So when you circulate small amounts of cyanide or HCN in your system, in your circulation, in your bloodstream, however you want to put it, what you're doing is you're actually starving the cancer cells, which again are looking for more oxygen than your regular cells. They're ingesting some of that HCN, and since they're more sensitive to oxygen deprivation than average cells are, the nascent cancer cells die off. That's the theory. It is based upon the Laetrile theory of anti-cancer therapy, which was popular on the West Coast in the 60s and 70s, never truly disproven. But on the other hand, the Laetrile theory of anti-cancer therapy, although itself may have been somewhat suspicious, is based upon excellent science, based along the lines of what I just told you here on the Savage Nation. Another health tip from Michael Savage.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
We're putting aside all the temporary problems of the world, and I'm going to answer your questions. Are they sexual in nature, financial, personal? Is it a problem with your boss? Is it with your husband? This is Mike Savage, life coach. Wisconsin Shannon, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I need help with the fact that I'm a hardcore Democrat. My husband is a hardcore Republican.
So what's the problem?
Well, every time there's something going on in our state or federal, like right now the situation in Wisconsin, it sparks huge arguments between the two of us.
So do what women have done for centuries, withhold sex.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Why?
We have a six-month-old baby, so he doesn't have them very often anyways.
Well, that's what babies are for, aren't they? To keep the husband away.
It's the best birth control ever, that's for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the reasons women used to have babies every year or so was to make sure the husband left them alone. Well, I don't know what the problem is. You're not going to change his mind. He's not going to change yours. You're a communist and he's a Republican. What are you going to do?
Is there any way to, like, even it out some? from?
Well, I mean, is there any way for him to reach you with any reason? If, in other words, if your state is broke and bankrupt and the governor's asking teachers to pay a small amount towards their own pension and their own health care, does that not make sense to you? Where should the money come from?
From other...
Hello? Where should the money come from?
There's other ways to cut spending.
Wait, hold on. What do you mean there are other ways to cut spending? Why is it that people who work for a private company contribute to their own pensions and their own health care, but government workers should not? Is that fair? You're a Democrat. You're a fair-minded Democrat. Why should state workers be exempt from sharing the burden of supporting themselves?
Teachers don't make very much for wages.
That's a very good point, but neither do people in the private sector today. At least they have a job in teaching. They have a job that's secure. That's better than a lot of people who don't have any job at all.
Understandable.
You see, Shannon, things have changed. The world is not what it was when your parents were alive. Thank you for the call. Oh, does that husband have trouble? I see there's no way to reason with people when they make... Salt Lake City, Ryan, what's your question for Dr. Savage?
Hey, Dr. Savage. I'm 33 years old. I have a bachelor's degree, but I'm thinking about going back to get my MBA. I just don't know if it's going to pay off in the long run. If I spend the $50,000 to get the MBA, is it going to pay off for me later on?
My suggestion is forget the MBA, spend $400 on a life coach degree and become a life coach. You'll make more money faster.
That could be true.
I hear people are doing it. They're actually paying some people money to get some kind of like experience in being a life coach. How the heck can you become a life coach if you haven't lived?
Yeah, I don't know.
What are they going to advise people of if they haven't gone through it themselves? Now, as far as an MBA goes, I don't know. There was a time when it was a union card to a job in a corporation. Do MBAs really teach you today what you need to know in this economy? I can't answer that question. Do you have a family business, perhaps, that you're thinking of taking over? Or you got to create your own business?
Well, as of right now, I'm already employed, and it's always kind of been a dream of mine to be an entrepreneur and maybe start a business. But
Then why do you need an MBA? An MBA requires a good idea, some money, and the ability to go ahead and do it. You don't need an MBA for that. I mean, you need to know the basic principles of a business, marketing, etc. You need to know how to do that, but I don't know that you don't need a degree for that today. You could go on the internet right now and you could run a search that says what do I need to know to run a small business? Give me 10 steps. You could probably find it in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, and that's true, but I mean if that doesn't work out, if I need to, you know, lean back on a larger corporation, will it give me
All right. That's another point. In other words, if you're looking to tomorrow in a more competitive marketplace, the MBA certainly would distinguish you from an applicant with an ordinary bachelor's degree. In that regard, yes, I'm always for that higher degree if it's from a decent university, and that's what you want. If on the other hand you're looking really to be an entrepreneur, you've got to think about what your best ideas might be. You know, the old statement: build a better mousetrap, and people will be the door a path to your doorstep. It's still true, by the way. It is still true. In fact, even in a down economy, people are still spending money, right?
Right.
Okay. So it's not like suddenly no one's buying anymore. They're not trading like oyster shells for their dinner. They're spending money. So if you put out a better product in a restaurant, people are going to go to it at a good price. Or whatever I don't know what your ideas are. You have to start thinking about your ideas rather than the degree. I'd put my ideas ahead of my degrees. Then I'd worry about it. You could hire an MBA to be your partner. Hire an MBA who killed himself for 3 years and make him the CFO and give him a piece of the business. Let him figure out all the angles of the business if you have a good idea. And you could you could sidestep having to go to school.
All right.
I know some of the people I know who are the most successful, whether they be in the media or in business, never even went to college, by the way. And they're multimillionaires because they had a good idea and they were willing to invest their own time and energy and build that business. And it could still be done. As I say, even in a down economy, there are products that have not yet been invented that people who are looking for a way out of a down economy would if I was hungry for money right now, I could come up with 5 ideas to get people to follow me right now and to give them the hope that they might find the way out of the morass they're in. I wouldn't do it because I don't want to exploit anybody. But there are ways that you can come up with ideas every day of the week, Ryan. Good economy, bad economy, it doesn't matter.
All right, thank you.
Anyway,
very much,
so the bottom line of my answer to you is this. If you're thinking of security and you want to go in a big corporation, yes, go for the MBA. If, on the other hand, you have a better mousetrap that you want to put out and market right now, go to work with an MBA. Make him your CFO. Give him a piece of the business. If he thinks it's good, give him a percentage and let him go out and raise the money and go sell it. Thanks for the call. I'd like a sex question right now. Oh, here we got one here. Alabama, Elaine, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. My husband has not made or shown any interest in being intimate with me in 4 years or longer. And every time I pinpoint it and sit him down and question him about it, he will start cursing me and just jump up and leave the room. Mm. And so I was wondering what your...
How many years have you been together?
31.
Well, look, I don't want to make any jokes about it, but, you know, the romantic phase ended a while ago, correct?
Well, you with me it was forced, but...
Wait, hold on. With you, with you, what was forced?
Well, it was forced to end with me because he's not interested, and I'm not about...
Well, hold on. So what is the basis of your relationship if it's not sexual? What keeps you together at all? You have something in common. There must be some reason. Is there a companionship element to the relationship at this point or not?
We're good friends.
Are you good friends? Do you fight all the time, or do you actually enjoy your company with him other than the sexual loss?
We enjoy each other's company other than that.
Well, let me tell you something. Elaine, you know, there's a little wisdom in what I'm going to tell you. You ask anyone going back any period of time, and they'll tell you that any long-term relationship primarily has to be based upon companionship. If you've got that, you've got 95% of the package, Elaine. A lot of people have sexuality. They have no relationship, though. They have no companionship and no care for each other. So sometimes you have to take what you have. I know the other side of you is dying. That's another story. I can't answer that one because I don't know what the dynamics are between you and your husband.
It's your opinion, because I sure don't.
But what I'm going to say to you is, without being a wise guy, is if you have kindness between each other and you enjoy each other's company, instead of approaching him with, why aren't you making love to me? Why are you rejecting my advances? Why don't you try to emphasize with him how much you enjoy being with him, and put that aside for a while. Don't even think about it. Try to put it aside, because he'll pick up the vibes that you're not approaching him to go to bed with him. You're approaching him because you like being with him, and maybe that will come back again. You know what I'm saying?
I understand.
That's how I would approach that. Now, I thought that was a very sensitive answer from Dr. Mike. I think it was very touching. I thought, see, I'm doing a very good job, better than most psychiatrists. They would tell you to meet him in a motel and get ropes and, you know, get dirty movies. I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist, so I don't think that way. I know how they think, though, because I read enough of the newspapers. You know, you ever see these articles you see in the paper? How to make your sex life more interesting. I mean, it's like a trapeze act. Meet him in a motel outside a racetrack and bring clothesline. I never saw anything like this. If you have to do that already, what's the point? You may as well join a nunnery rather than do that. So what I would say is forget the sexuality and work on the companionship and the kindness. See if you can enjoy each other. That's all. So I think that was a very nice answer. I'm very happy with it.
Wait, hang on before I go. Mother's Day almost here. Today's your last chance to send mom something really special from the Mother's Day collection at 1-800-Flowers.com. By the way, you can buy flowers everywhere right now. But I know the best, and mom deserves the best. To get this amazing offer, you need to order today. 1-800-Flowers.com is offering my listeners $10 off a special Mother's Day collection. These are unique florist-designed Mother's Day arrangements like Fields of Europe, Fresh Roses, Lilies, Carnations, and Snapdragons, hand-designed and hand-delivered in a beautiful glass vase. Now, just $29.99. It's not too late to send mom the very best and get $10 off this amazing Mother's Day collection, but only if you order it right now. Plus, it's available for same-day or Mother's Day delivery. To get $10 off the Mother's Day collection, available today only, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner, enter Savage. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Savage in the mic, or call 1-800-Flowers and mention my last name, Savage.
Savage. We'll be right back.
Austin, Texas, Brandon, is going to defend hippie values. Brandon, you have a big job ahead of you. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. I want to know what is wrong with the hippie values of love and just acceptance of different people.
No, well, go and defend hippie values, because hippie values are not love.
Well, I consider myself actually a hippie of today. I'm young. I actually do dress the fashion of hippies. Me and my friends, we're about love, about acceptance, about everything like that. And I want to know what's
what is. Tell me what you mean by love and acceptance. What does that mean?
Well, it means you don't discriminate against people because they're gender, race.
You certainly wouldn't argue that the rampant drug use that we see in America today, including that amongst the young, is something that's positive, would you?
What do you mean?
Sorry, say that again.
Yes, say that again.
No, I'm not going to say it again. If you can't follow a thought, why are you calling a show to have a discussion?
I was going to say, I mean, I don't go around having sex with everybody. I don't do drugs. I'm just the values, the core concepts is what I...
Well, let's go again. I'll start again, and please listen this time, or else I'm going to get frustrated. We won't go anywhere. You're not going to argue that the rampant drug use we see in America today, which is a hippie value, is a good value, are you?
No, I'm not, but I think marijuana...
Well, hold on. Let's take it a step at a time. You're saying there's nothing wrong with hippie values. I'm telling you what the hippie values really are. One, the legalization of all drugs. So you're saying you disagree with that?
Marijuana only. It's natural.
It's natural. Then why do you think we are seeing articles coming out of the medical establishment saying that if we don't get tough on marijuana, more people are going to wind up in mental hospitals or die?
Well, also, alcohol does the same thing as marijuana.
No, don't change the argument. We know about the dangers of alcohol. But most of us think that marijuana is a benign drug when it's the exact opposite.
I mean,
why do you assume marijuana is helpful? Why do you make that assumption?
Well, it grows from the earth. It's from the earth. It's natural. It can't do
now I know that you're a put-on. You know, this is a fake voice by somebody trying to get my goat. We know that arsenic is also natural, isn't it?
I really don't know. I mean,
well, you don't. What do you know? You're like a dummy. You don't know nothing. What do you think? Because it's natural, it's good. I can show you 10 mushrooms that can kill you if you ingest 1 milligram of it. What do you mean natural? What kind of stupidity is that? There are aflatoxins that are natural, and microgram amounts would kill you. Well, where does the idea that if it's natural, it's good come from? Heroin is natural. Is that good too, Brandon?
No, heroin is not good.
Wait a minute. Heroin is natural. It grows from a poppy. What are you talking about? You just contradicted yourself.
Well, I'm saying marijuana, from my experience, has done less harm than heroin and all that other kind of stuff.
Well, look what it's done to you. You can't even follow a thought for 3 seconds in a row. Here's the chief executive of the charity Sane in England. It says at least a third of murders committed by addicts of cannabis were preventable. There are murders, an epidemic of murder in England related to marijuana. Thousands of cannabis plants are being shut in England because they recognize, unlike the morons in this country, that marijuana is the most dangerous of all drugs. Look what it's done to you. It's gutted out your character. You don't even know what you're talking about. You have no idea that you have no character. What else do you think is good about hippie values then? We just agreed that drugs are not good. Well, give me another hippie value that is good. Random and free sex with a stranger is good?
No, I've never done that. I've never had sex with a stranger.
All right, I'm talking hetero. I'm talking homo. I'm talking about random sex with strangers on a regular basis. You wouldn't argue that that's a good thing for a society, I don't think.
You should. Well, no, that's one good thing. That's one bad thing, I have had...
Brandon, there's another hippie value. So we got two hippie values now. Random sex with strangers and rampant drug use. Both are hippie values. All right, Brandon, thanks for trying. You're not a bad person. I just wish to God that your mental health was tuned up a little better.
Wait, hang on before I go.
We've started a work-from-home revolution. Our listeners are so tired of this economy, job insecurities, living paycheck to paycheck. They're taking action. About 1,000 people a month are discovering the genius of starting their own home business through incomeathome.com, like John Ball. Talk about bad luck. He had lost his job and was in foreclosure when he heard about incomeathome.com. So he thought, well, why not? Today, John runs his own home business, earns over $5,000 a month, and just won a new Porsche in his business contest. Look, not everyone gets a Porsche and earns thousands a month. But doesn't earning money from home sound good? IncomeAtHome.com helps our listeners get up and running in days. No pressure. No matter your age, education, or experience, you can literally earn money on your computer from your kitchen table. And check out their $1,000 giveaway at IncomeAtHome.com. IncomeAtHome.com. IncomeAtHome.com.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Look, if you can't laugh at the insanity of our political landscape, I mean, you're going to go crazy, right or wrong? I'm working it in. I'm working in the insanity and the lies. Like yesterday, we played Obama in the battleground state of Ohio. Which state is not a battleground state? Meaning the state they must steal in order for the Democrats to win. And he got up, he had the nerve to say, Obama says we built railroads, highways, the Hoover Dam, touched the moon, unlocked the mystery of the atom. That's why I'm running for president. Here's a man who is anti-railroad, anti-highway, anti-dam, anti-NASA, and anti-nuke. How did they get away with it? How? Because they control the media. How? They got little shills like, I have to name them for you. But thank God for them, or else I wouldn't exist. In other words, if there was an honest man in the major media, there would be no talk radio. Think about it that way the next time you get incensed. If there was one honest man in all of the major media, we wouldn't have talk radio at all. Do you understand how that works? That's a kind of takeoff of what Jesus said. So now that's what I'm saying. I'll tell jokes in the middle, talk about bread. It's the only way to get through a day, is to deal with the natch. What would you really do? So I happen to love bread. So I started to make some social observations that it's a sickening truth, but it's you have to face it. The higher the liberal community, the number of libs, the better the bread and the better the coffee. And the higher the real conservative quotient, God bless them, you can't eat the bread and you can't drink the coffee. And I don't know why. So that I asked the staff, they came up with this. They said it's because, well, when it comes to liberals, they're just after your dough. Hit the... You got it. Okay, I'm going to read these now. So then hit the thing, whatever you hit. Okay, the reason that the bread is good in liberal communities is because they're just after your dough. Good, now you're getting the timing. Another one of the guys just said, well, they just go with the grain. One of the other crew members said, well, it's easy to get a rise out of them. Whether it was Beowulf or Doug said, most of their ideas are half-baked. And then finally, I think Beowulf said the reason bread is good in liberal areas is because they're very needy. K-N-E-A-D-Y. we do things that cannot be done anywhere else on earth. And it's done on the moment. Do you realize what it would take a comedy writer to have come up with this skit for one of the goofball jerks on television who don't have a brain between their ears? They just get up there, read this stuff written by much more intelligent comedy writers. Anyway. It's heartbreaking to see what this man gets away with. I mean, it's just heartbreaking. And Hillary Clinton, forget about it, like a pox on a landscape. Wherever she goes, she makes an insult out of our existence here. Why would she go out of her way to say that? Well, listen to clip five again.
I certainly think President Obama has sent a very clear message of respect and appreciation of all religions, and in particular of Islam.
Why in particular of Islam, Hillary? Ben in Portland, Oregon, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I think that liberals are good with food in a lot of ways because they're more focused upon this world and this life. You know, they don't have to look forward to eternity, and so this life's got to be pretty good. And they do some really nice things.
That is very interesting. No, this becomes a more interesting question. So because they're abject materialists, they focus obsessionally on bread and coffee rather than on their personal. In other words, because they're such degenerates, you mean that they focus on the little things?
I think what you find is a lot of people who have no eternal hope, but they also are hardworking, and they find something tangible to focus on in this life. And they find, you know, I work in the food industry, and you find a lot of people that they just absolutely, it almost fills the role of religion in their lives to produce great things, great food.
Oh, that becomes their religion. making good bread.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's very interesting. It's a fascinating topic. That's something that a sociology student can write an essay about. Someone will rip off the whole idea. Very good. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny because it's the best book ever written, Crushing Obama's Dream of the... I can't even say his name anymore. Obramer. Crushing Obramer's Dream of the Socialist States of America. You know, I think the only way he can win again is if he changes his last name. If he Americanized his name, he might have a chance of winning this time. You know, instead of Barack Obama, it could be like Barry Olbermann. He could claim he's the son of the guy thrown off television for vomiting on himself underneath the desk. What else do you want to talk about? Liberals, you saw the news on the CIA guy. Big deal. That means that the government did the right thing. That's very good news. Did you see what they did to a church in Santa Cruz, California? I'm afraid to read it to you. You'll get sick. Beowulf, did you send it to me? I don't know if I can even read the story. It got me so upset, I didn't know what to do. Where is this? I didn't get it. They trashed the church in Santa Cruz, California. They spray painted horrible things on it, a Catholic church. And then they took an item that was put there in the 1700s by Junipero Serra. Astounding. The police have the surveillance tapes, and they have not yet made any arrests. Now, Santa Cruz is the epicenter of psychotic anti-Americanism, and it all comes out of the fount of insanity called the University of California at Santa Cruz. UC Santa Cruz is the worst school in the United States of America. It exists only to hate America, hate the family, hate the patriarchy, hate the military, hate the police, and hate the church. And you know and I know that this was done by some of the Occupy students promoted by the professors. And the police really have an obligation to society to make an arrest. I would hope the FBI enters this case. This is not a local story. This is a hate crime. Santa Cruz Church vandalized, historic font broken. You got to see the story. It'll make you sick. You don't have to be Catholic to stand up for Catholicism when Catholics are under attack by these vermin, do you? This is the equivalent of Kristallnacht on a small scale against Catholics this time. Kristallnacht, if you may remember, was when the Nazis went crazy in Germany and smashed up synagogues. Horrible beginning to the Holocaust. Now you have the occupiers, in other words, all the Obamaites, all of those who are supported by Obama, the Democrat Party, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, who supported the Occupy movement, these vandals are now loose in the land like vampires, and they spray painted on this Catholic church the true evil. We all have heathen blood. They defaced the entire church. A stone baptismal font in the garden which Father Junipero Serra brought to the original mission in 1791 was spray-painted with the word evil and knocked over and broken. Two statues of Junipero Serra and the Virgin Mary were covered in paint. This is a hate crime. It's a small-scale Kristallnacht in America against the Catholic Church. The police in Santa Cruz should make an arrest by tonight or the FBI should be called in, yes or no. You want me to just talk about bread? You want me to tell you what's really going on underneath your nose? Because we have an anti-American president who has actually taken the side of the Occupy movement, just as he took the side of the murderers who were killing people and beating people up all over America under the guise of the Trayvon Martin case. Remember what he said? If I had a son, he would look like Trayvon Martin. Well, if you actually saw the report from Reuters later on, it turned out that Trayvon Martin was a real troublemaker. There was vandalism in the neighborhood. And this kid who allegedly killed him in cold blood was defending his own life. I haven't heard an apology from Al Sharpton, the rabble-rouser out-of-state manipulator who should be arrested by the FBI for flying in from out-of-state to incite a riot. Where's the FBI in that case? Nah, not when you need him. Not when you need him. Not when you need him. New York City, Dominic, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Michael, it has to do with the water and the liberalism. You find out, I think it's the mineral content or the antidepressants, one of the two that makes bread taste so good.
You think they're sprinkling antidepressants into the bread?
Well, they may just be in the water since everybody excretes them.
No, but it's true, Dominic, that the bread is better in very liberal areas. I mean, New York City has phenomenal bread, doesn't it?
Excellent, excellent.
But yeah. And you know they're not, the bread's not made by conservatives.
No, not at all.
No. I mean, you know, it's an interesting thing. In the food industry is largely a very liberal industry, isn't it? It's almost dominated entirely by super left-wingers for some strange reason. And maybe the guy touched on it earlier. I don't want to beat the point up. But maybe when you're not thinking of the next world and you're not thinking of eternity, you do focus more on this world. But I don't know that that's 100% true, because maybe it's true in some cases. But look, let's look at the great art of the world, going back to the Middle Ages, right? Look at the Renaissance art. It was all Christian-inspired art. And it was all funded by the church. So, you know, it doesn't hold up. I don't think it has anything to do with whether or not you're religious or think of the next world. It was an interesting theory for the moment in the graduate school of the Savage University, but I don't think it holds up. So here we are. Here we are. It's a terrible day in America. Really, it gets worse. As you can see, I'm trying not to get depressed and angry. Hillary talks about how pro-Islam the U.S. is. Astounding. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta on the latest terror plot. No one's asking, has he stopped flying back to Monterey every weekend at this grotesque cost. James Hoffa, the superb individual of the Union of Union fame, the same man who said, let's take out the Tea Parties, take them out, which, by the way, was a battle cry on one hand. And when he said, let's take him out, that's a physical threat. The FBI should have investigated him as they did his father. But the Teamsters president, James Hoffa, says Mitt Romney, well, listen to this yourself in clip 13 and 14.
He's very dangerous. He's a man that wants to roll it back. Unfortunately, I don't think he has any values. You see, he vacillates on everything.
Turn him off. Jimmy Hoffa says Romney has no values. You mean James Hoffa has values? Can you tell me what James Hoffa's values are? Can anyone listening to this show tell me what James Hoffa's values are? Tell me, what are the values of James Hoffa? And who's more dangerous, James Hoffa or Mitt Romney? And I hope that James Hoffa continues to attack Mitt Romney in this despicable manner, because he's only going to drive more people to vote for Romney. So keep it up, Mr. Hoffa. All you're doing is showing people why we must vote for Romney and not vote for your stooge, President Obama. Never before in American history have we seen anything like this. Never. After all the years of America knowing about union corruption, all the years, 30 years of the U.S. government breaking union corruption, now we have union corruption back supported by the government itself. Explain that to me. How did that happen? How is it that America understood union corruption? Go all the way back and take a look at it. The whole history of it. Now we have unions in the White House. The White House in the unions, explain that to me. State of California, Jerry Brown, the most anti-business governor in the history of the state. A survey was just done of the top CEOs in America. California came out as the last state in America any CEO wants to do business in. They said government needs to be cut in half. Under Jerry Brown, they said business is seen as a parasite that must be supported. A parasite that must be tolerated, but never supported. Tax them to death, regulate them to death, send one moron out of the universities after another to throw red tape in the way of anyone who wants to start or run a business. That's Jerry Brown, a union stooge in the state of California. The worst governor in the history of the state. The most anti-business governor in history, in the history of California. Now, we just saw a socialist elected in France. One of his platforms was that he wanted to add 45% to the income tax of the average Frenchman. Jerry Brown wants to do the same thing in the state of California. Do you know that we pay 11% state income tax, those high earners in California? And if you're a high earner in California, you pay 10% state income tax. Then you kick in another 1% for some garbage lie about mental health subsidy. So it's 11%. Now Jerry Brown wants it to be 15%. So Jerry Brown wants to raise the state taxes exactly the way the socialist wacko academic does in France, by another 40%. And no one reports it in the news media. Now you understand why I'm banned in Britain and banned in San Francisco.
Wait, hang on before I go. Hey, for months I've been telling you, get yourself and your family prepared for the unexpected. I'm saying it. The Red Cross is saying it. Even FEMA is saying it. Want more proof? Chris from Oklahoma writes, thank goodness for wisefoodstorage.com. We were devastated by this season's tornadoes. Not only did our Wise Food Storage grab-and-go container survive the tornado,
More importantly, we were able to provide great-tasting meals to our kids and some of our neighbors. I'll never be caught unprepared again. WiseFoodStorage.com provides the most affordable and complete ready-made meals for emergencies. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. Did you hear? Free entree sample. What do you got to lose? See for yourself why I personally use their products. For a limited time, enter the promo code SAVAGE to get free shipping. You heard me. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE. And be sure to mention the promo code SAVAGE. You get a free sample, free shipping on any order. They're great. Be wise and be ready with WiseFoodStorage.com. You'll thank me.
Savage.
Connecticut. Bob, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mr. Savage, I want to talk about the church vandalism.
Yes.
Well, you know, I think about that, Mr. Savage, and I don't think you can actually bring a clause of hate toward the crime that happened. I think you can only justify vandalism.
Well, let's say someone attacks a religious institution and spray paints anti-religious messages of that religion. That's a hate crime, isn't it?
I don't think we can direct a hate crime because we all have hatred. You know, God.
No, but wait a minute. Wait a minute. I didn't write the hate crime laws. I don't think they should exist, but they do exist. Unfortunately, they're only enacted when it's a white person committing a crime against a minority. Rarely in the other direction are they ever enacted. But let us say, God forbid, a mosque was attacked and spray-painted with such words. Wouldn't that be considered a hate crime? Somebody attacked a synagogue and spray-painted an anti-Jewish message. Wouldn't that be considered a hate crime? You wouldn't stop hearing about it from the ADL, would you? From morning till night, all you hear about is a hate crime against Jews if someone spray-painted a swastika on a synagogue, right? So if somebody does the same to a Catholic church, it's a hate crime, isn't it?
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Thank you. So I'm right. Therefore, the FBI should be called into Santa Cruz. Don't leave it to the doofus police in Santa Cruz, California, who basically are not capable of investigating this crime. They're probably going to lose the surveillance tape before the night is out. I insist the FBI be called into Santa Cruz, California, to investigate the vandalism of that church. How's that? A lot of effect it's going to have in Governor Brown's state. The man who let the Occupy movement stop ship traffic in the Oakland port. The governor who was too busy eating bread and cheese at the Getty's house to even stop the protesters who blocked shipping in the state of California. That's a man not fit to be a governor. That man's not fit to be a baker. That man's not fit to be a barber. That man is not fit to be a candlestick maker. And yet he's in charge of a state larger than most nations. How did this happen? Say illegal alien. Say union. Say the people are asleep. In the once great golden state, now ruled the worst state in America to do business in by the top CEOs of the United States of America. It's France on the West Coast.
Wait, hang on before I go. Mother's Day almost here. Today's your last chance to send mom something really special from the Mother's Day collection at 1-800-Flowers.com. By the way, you can buy flowers everywhere right now. But I know the best, and mom deserves the best. To get this amazing offer, you need to order today. 1-800-Flowers.com is offering my listeners $10 off a special Mother's Day collection. These are unique florist design Mother's Day arrangements like Fields of Europe, fresh roses, lilies, carnations, and snapdragons, hand-designed and hand-delivered in a beautiful glass vase. Now, just $29.99. It's not too late to send mom the very best and get $10 off this amazing Mother's Day collection, but only if you order it right now. Plus, it's available for same-day or Mother's Day delivery. To get $10 off the Mother's Day collection, available today only, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner, enter Savage. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Savage in the mic, or call 1-800-Flowers and mention my last name, Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
The teaching of Buddha under the way of practical attainment. Here's another one. Tell me whether this applies to you. It doesn't matter what your religion is. Listen to this one. A man who chases after fame and wealth and love affairs is like a child who licks honey from the blade of a knife. While he is tasting the sweetness of honey, he has to risk hurting his tongue. He is like a man who carries a torch against the strong wind. The flame will surely burn his hands and face. People love their egoistic comfort, which is a love of fame and praise. But fame and praise are like incense that consumes itself and soon disappears. If people chase after honors and public acclaim and leave the way of truth, they are in serious danger and will soon have cause for regret. It's beautiful poetry, I got to tell you that, and it's universal in the sense that it crosses over to whatever your religious orientation may be. Even if you're an atheist, you can find these rules somewhat reasonable to live by, unless you don't believe in any rules at all because you're so wild and free. We understand that. We understand that people who are not religious are just wild and free, and they're so progressive in their freedom and their liberation. As George Orwell said, he said, the more people chant about their freedom and how free they are, the more loudly he hears their chains rattling. A scripture that is not read with sincerity soon becomes covered with dust. Who does that sound like? You remember the stage Bibles of the Clintons? You remember that overly large Bible that they used to use on Sundays that was made for them in Hollywood on a Hollywood set? I mean, it was like 1.5 to 2.5 times the size of an ordinary Bible. The cross was so big you couldn't miss it from 100 yards away. A scripture that is not read with sincerity soon becomes covered with dust. A house that is not fixed when it needs repairing becomes filthy. So an idle man soon becomes defiled. Why do you think each nation, each people, and each religion had these writings? What is the purpose of any of this? It's their guidances. If you are just left to your wants and to your needs and what you moaning about, oh, I don't have this, oh, I don't have that, oh, I don't have an airplane, oh, I don't have a girlfriend, oh, I don't have 10 girlfriends, oh, I don't have a house in Aspen next to Dianne Feinstein, the war profiteer, oh, I'm not here, oh, I'm not invited there. You're gonna just moan and groan your whole way through life. So you have to understand that there are millions, tens of millions of people like you on the earth right now going through exactly the same moanings and groanings, and that you have to find your way out of it without taking a pill, without dosing yourself up on a bicycle ride. There's nothing wrong with taking a pill if you need it or taking a bicycle ride. Trust me on that one. But that's not the point. That shouldn't be your only way out of a problem. If man is anything, he's a creature of reason. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? How do you define man? Man is an animal who reasons. I've seen that if you're a pure materialist. Let's say you don't believe in God or creator, so you're into mechanism. So you say, well, we're only animals. You have an animal body. But you have to admit that we are an animal who reasons. So therefore, if a man reasons or a man can reason, then he can think his way out of almost any problem that he puts himself in. All these problems, by the way, are temporal small problems, these wants and these needs, you know. You should, if you thought yourself into them, you should be able to think your way out of them. And so you can't do it on your own. You could try it on your own, but you're probably not going to be able to succeed. So that's when people start to turn to the scriptures, or they turn to the teachings of Buddha, or they turn to a religion, or they turn to Zen Buddhism, or they turn to, what's this now? You see the people twisted up in studios all over America. What's that? Yoga. Half of them are ex-nymphomaniacs trying to control their bodies through various postures. I have sympathy for them. I understand that. To me, it all looks like a burlesque when I look into a yoga studio. I feel like I'm from another planet. I bicycle by, I look in. I mean, it looks like a burlesque to me. If you're doing yoga, why do you have to wear a costume that shows your private parts to everyone in the room? Can't you do yoga wearing something that's a little more dignified, I ask myself? I mean, if it's purely for the spirit, to get control of the spirit. What are they wearing? A show all pair of tights, and they're on their hands and knees. I just ask myself if it's what they say it is. So you have to find the answer somewhere else than in your own head. In other words, yes, we are creatures, we are animals of reason, so we can use reason to get out of any hole that we find ourselves in, but we don't have to write the scripture to get us out of that hole. Let's go to the people who thought this through like 10,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago. We don't need some shyster who was on Oprah to get us out of it. He probably stole it from one of these books anyway and repackaged it. You may as well go back to the original guys who wrote this stuff. To conquer oneself is a greater victory than to conquer thousands in a battle. Think about that one. I can never understand that one. If a man's pointing a gun at you, I really don't have time for that one. Or if a man wants to do you harm, let's put it to you that way. I mean, still sleep with the doors locked and the alarm on and the gun's loaded with the dog's ears. I don't trust that much in it, you know. Now, here's the last one of this preachy stuff today. This is from the teaching of Buddha. And so here's another one of the practical guides that perhaps one of them read. The duty of a ruler is to protect his people. How's that for a starter, Mr. Bush? The duty of a ruler is to protect his people. Many of us would say he is. Okay. He is the parent of his people, and he protects them by his laws. Well, when he says children's learn, we start to wonder what kind of parent he might be. He must raise his people, like parents raise their children, giving a dry cloth to replace a wet one without waiting for the child to cry. In like manner, the ruler must remove suffering and bestow happiness without waiting for people to complain. Indeed, his ruling is not perfect until his people abide in peace. They are his country's treasure. I love that one. The people are a nation's treasure. You hear what I'm saying to you? We are the treasure of America. You and I are the treasure of America, not the senators, not the congressmen, not the media pimps. We are the treasure of America. So they go and they say, therefore, a wise ruler is always thinking of his people and does not forget them even for a moment. Wouldn't you like to believe that? Wouldn't you like to wake up or go to sleep knowing that your wise rulers are always thinking of you and doesn't forget you for a moment other than how to deceive you and to fleece you? He thinks of their hardships and plans for their prosperity. To rule wisely, he must be advised about everything, about water, about drought, about storm, about rain. He must know about crops, the chances for a good harvest, people's comforts and their sorrows. You see that one? To be in a position to rightly award, punish, or praise, he must be thoroughly informed as to the guilt of bad men and the merits of good men. It's an interesting thing about rulers in here. And I don't want to read any more because I think you got the picture. And that's why I've touched on various religious books. Doesn't mean you have to become the person. But just as I can read Buddhism, I don't have to be a Buddhist. I don't have to say I'm a Buddhist trapped in an American's body. You don't have to become a Buddhist to read the Buddhist tractates. You don't have to shift religions just to read the other religion's books. You don't have to say now I'm trapped in the wrong religion. You were born in a religion. That's the religion that's right for you. It's genetic. It's part of your genetic code. Your parents were that religion. And going back onto how many generations was that your religion? It's in your genetic code. It's encoded within your mind and your psyche, and you're never going to find peace in another religion. Never.
Wait, hang on before I go. Mother's Day almost here. Today's your last chance to send mom something really special from the Mother's Day collection at 1-800-Flowers.com. By the way, you can buy flowers everywhere right now. But I know the best, and mom deserves the best. To get this amazing offer, you need to order today. 1-800-Flowers.com is offering my listeners $10 off a special Mother's Day collection. These are unique florist-designed Mother's Day arrangements like Fields of Europe, Fresh Roses, Lilies, Carnations, and Snapdragons, hand-designed and hand-delivered in a beautiful glass vase. Now, just $29.99. It's not too late to send mom the very best and get $10 off this amazing Mother's Day collection, but only if you order it right now. Plus, it's available for same-day or Mother's Day delivery. To get $10 off the Mother's Day collection, available today only, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right-hand corner, enter Savage. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Savage in the mic, or call 1-800-Flowers and mention my last name, Savage.
Savage.
listening to The Savage Nation. I'm having a little bit of a nostalgia show today because it is springtime in America. And the normal people in America are actually relaxed and enjoying themselves. The people with an IQ above 80, those who take fish oils, are not enjoying themselves. They understand that we're living through a terrible time and a regime that is relentless in its acquisition of power and its desire to crush the people into submission. So let's listen to a little music, and then I'm going to have a little fun with you today on The Savage Nation. Sort of an easy ride today is what we're going to take. All right, it's enough already. That's it. Ready into the refrain I don't like. So the day started like this. I get up at dawn, which I usually do, even though I don't want to because the light comes in and I sleep near the base sometimes. Jump in the car. Go down to Sausalito, California. Everyone knows Sausalito. They love it. And I got there, walked around the docks, saw the sun come up. It was just gorgeous. It was still cool, and the fog was on the bay. Trickle down tyranny, how well it's done, and how really grateful I am to my audience for what you've done for me. And then I started thinking about finishing up my next book, Train Tracks, which will be out in for Christmas from the same great publisher, Harper's. So I said, you know, there's one thing I haven't written yet for Train Tracks, which is how I got into radio. And I want to read you, it's a page long of what I wrote this morning, even though I shouldn't. I should be hawking you trickle-down tyranny. But I really have to read this to you, how I got into radio, because I was next to a building where I cut my first demo tape. So I'm walking around after dawn today, and I wrote this. I can remember the day I recorded my first demo tape and sent it out to 200 stations around America. I went down to Command Productions in the Industrial Center building in Sausalito. The building in which this production studio was housed, incidentally, was part of the old Kaiser Shipyards. They built the Liberty ships for World War II. It's an area I've spent a lot of time in, just musing or walking about the boats, the docks, the gas dock, looking at the boats. Anyway, I was writing books on health, nutrition, herbs, and I was doing corporate consulting, but I knew there was something more that I wanted. In fact, you might say I was desperate. I was 50 years old and I wanted more. Well, just things weren't right. All the years I had done book tours, these grueling 10-city book tours, I was told by various people in the media, Michael, you really ought to go into the radio business. You have a great voice. And I said to them, how can I go into the radio business? That's like telling someone to become an astronaut who can't fly. Nevertheless, necessity is the mother of invention. And so I created the name Savage Nation, and I went to Command Productions. I'll never forget it to this day. I opened the demo tape like this. And now, from high atop the Empire State Building in New York City, it's the Savage Nation. And then I had my wife call in, and a friend of mine call in from this little room that he lived in San Francisco, during my monologue, which was against affirmative action. I had them call in with sort of stage calls. I would say, Frank, you're next up on the Savage Nation, that kind of thing. Well, I had gotten from a distant friend a list of all the radio stations in America that had talk shows. I believe it was over 200 at the time that I made the tape. And so I sent it out to over 200 radio stations in the United States looking for a job. Within a week, five stations said, hey, kid, you're pretty good. Give us a call. One I remember was in Boston. I don't remember its call letters. I hope it was WRKO where I am today. I don't remember the others, but another one was in my own backyard, and that was the largest talk radio station in San Francisco. They said to me, how would you like to fill in? Well, of course I wanted to fill in on the most powerful station in San Francisco, 50,000 watts. So I did. A midnight to 5 a.m. shift for a guy who had a show that was devoted to hating white people and pandering to the worst in human nature. I filled in and did a normal show. Actually, it was quite an interesting show, not inflammatory at all, in my opinion. You see, I talked about the inequality of affirmative action and things of that nature. Well, I received such hate calls from the left-wing listener base that I was shocked, in the sense that prior to this, I had been the good doctor, the good herbalist who everyone liked. I never heard such hatred in my life. For five straight hours, I sat there and took it and answered the best I could. As I drove home at dawn on Highway 101 to our little rental house, I remember looking in my rearview mirror the entire way back, thinking I was being followed. The hatred of the left wing had literally provoked a semi-paranoid reaction in me. When I got home and my family woke up, over breakfast I said, I will never do radio again. It is so filled with hate, I can't take it. Well, when I woke up later after my morning nap, ring, 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 ring. Hi, this is the program director.
Savage, you did great. Would you like to fill in for him again? I said, never. I'll never do radio again. She said, well, would you consider doing another show? I said, well, what other show? Now, remember, the day part radio shows on this 50,000-watt talk flamethrower heard from Canada to Mexico were the stars of radio at the time. And so I started filling in for the day part radio shows. I created a storm. I was the first conservative in the media in the San Francisco area. There was nobody before me, and frankly, there's been no one since me who could shine my shoes. Everybody in the business knows that. So I did fill in for a few months, and then they came to me again and said, Savage, look, we're starting another station, and it's going to be all conservative. How would you like to be the star? Sure, let's do it. And so I did, and the rest is history. That's how I got into radio. The moral of the story is, just do what you do best and try the best you can until the day you die, and eventually, the train that you are riding will lead you where you belong.
Wait, hang on before I go.
We've started a work-from-home revolution. Our listeners are so tired of this economy, job insecurities, living paycheck to paycheck. They're taking action. About 1,000 people a month are discovering the genius of starting their own home business through incomeathome.com, like John Ball. Talk about bad luck. He had lost his job and was in foreclosure when he heard about incomeathome.com. So he thought, well, why not? Today, John runs his own home business, earns over $5,000 a month, and just won a new Porsche in his business contest. Look, not everyone gets a Porsche and earns thousands a month. But doesn't earning money from home sound good? Incomeathome.com helps our listeners get up and running in days. No pressure. No matter your age, education, or experience, you can literally earn money on your computer from your kitchen table. And check out their $1,000 giveaway at incomeathome.com. 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 Results not average. Visit the website to see the results you're going to expect.
Savage.
Look, this is a huge day because Obama suddenly turned around. 2 days ago, he said he was evolving his position on gay marriage. So today, a day after North Carolina, he comes out and says he's supporting gay marriage. I personally think it's a disastrous error on his part because the community that's most interested in this topic has already, they're going to support him 100%. However, religious people who may have been flip-flopping because they are members of churches which receive federal aid, which is a good portion of the Catholic community, by the way, Catholic churches are very ambivalent on many issues because of the federal ties, they're not going to vote for him. And I believe that the working class, blue-collar voter who voted for Obama is going to turn against him on this issue. Then I ask you, give me five more important issues, far more important than gay marriage. I mean, these are important topics. Also in the Savage Nation, we're talking about a great victory for justice in San Francisco. After 5 years of trial, an illegal alien who killed a man and his two sons, shot him in cold blood, was found guilty on 3 first-degree murder counts. And by the way, the DA who prosecuted this, Harry Dorfman, the lead prosecutor, should be made mayor of the city. He portrayed the murderer, Ramos, as a seemingly charming but cold-blooded killer who shot the poor Bolognas in a misguided attempt to avenge a compatriot and in the MS-13 gang who had been shot and wounded earlier that day. Dorfman said, you're looking at a murderer, a gang murderer. Hold him responsible for all the sorrow and grief he caused that day. What's more important about the story is that this human being, this subhuman being, Ramos, had been in this country illegally. He had many juvenile offenses, but the city protected him under the so-called sanctuary policies. In one of the cases, he beat up somebody on a bus as a gang initiation. 4 days after his release, he assaulted a pregnant woman and her brother and was sentenced to the city's log cabin ranch for felony attempted robbery. In 05, he was released again without city juvenile authorities reporting this gangster to federal immigration officials. So if you think all illegal aliens come here to work, you are insane. You are insane, but there's been a victory. Of course, what victory is there for Tony Bologna's widow, Danielle, who lost her husband and two sons? Now let's move on to the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com, author of the great bestseller, Trickle Down Tyranny, now available in bookstores everywhere. Sacramento, Terry, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. I'm a conservative gay woman. We are out there. And I really don't believe that Obama does anything that's not completely calculated.
Okay, and so wait. So having said that, why would he make such a move today? I don't get it.
I don't understand it either. I really don't. I don't get where he comes from half the time. But I hope to God that you're right and that it backfires against him and that he loses a lot of votes and he does not get reelected. I mean,
That's very interesting, you should say. Again, without getting into the whole gay issue, because I told you I'm a sexual libertarian. I'll say it over and over again until finally it resonates. I know it was picked up by at least one talk show host who was self-identified in the same way because it makes so much sense. When I was a TV star for 3 months in San Francisco, I had several off-duty police officers as a bodyguard, one of whom was a very tall, tough lesbian woman who loved my show to death, by the way.
I love your show. In San Francisco, it's very hard to get. I have to drive where there's no overhead wires so I can get it on.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, you know, Terry, I'm banned in London. I'm banned in the UK and banned in San Francisco. What does that tell you about San Francisco?
I'll tell you what my partner did for my birthday last year. She bought me a T-shirt that said "Anybody but Obama." And
so, this is a great question. Why would conservative lesbian women be against Obama? What don't you like about him?
Well, we're both in the medical profession. I think Obamacare is just... I'm not a socialist.
So in other words, your sexual orientation is one thing, but your social policies are not tied into that. The whole left-wing cabal just because of your sexual orientation. That's very unusual, by the way, Terry. It's very unusual. And I've said this for a long time, that minority groups in general are basically hooked into the whole leftist conundrum based upon their minority orientation. That includes sexual orientation. But I don't know that they're mutually connected. Why must you be a leftist if you're, let's say, a Hispanic or black or Jewish or gay in this case? Why must you automatically pick up the whole leftist doctrine?
I don't. I mean, I really feel like, you know, I live my life... I pay my taxes. I'm a good citizen. I do good work. And my sexual orientation is very small on the scale of who I am. Hmm. And once you start labeling people, and then you start judging people. So if you just leave it alone, you know, I've had this argument with people who are very big supporters of gay marriage. Now, I frankly don't care whether one way or the other, whether it passed. And I know I got lambasted for that several times. But what I've never really believed in a cause except getting Obama out of office.
But why would Obama, who is so politically astute, and Axelrod, who is a political genius, why would they have Obama change his position from Monday to Wednesday? Why?
I don't know, and I don't know. It frightens me because there's something. He's too calculated. I'm not going to say he's smart because, of course, we've never seen his transcripts. He's too calculated and too narcissistic not to have something up his sleeve with this. And
right.
And
so my initial, when I started the show today, I said there's only two explanations in my mind. I like to break things down into two or three. The first is he did this because he knows he's going to win. It's a slam dunk. In other words, they own the voting machines, or they have some knowledge that we don't have that fixes in. That's the first thing that came to mind. The second one is that the big bucks donors in Hollywood have said to him, you have to come out and support gay marriage or we're not going to give you the $100 million plus.
That's a tough one. I don't know. But God, I hope he doesn't get reelected again. I pray to God.
Well, it's
God,
a disaster for working people. I really don't care what your sexual orientation is. If this man is reelected, taxes are going to be raised along the lines of France. And our standing in the world will diminish even further. The world will emerge into a greater chaotic state than it is right now. I mean, it's a disaster. The man is a terrible shepherd of this nation.
He scares me single-handedly more than anybody ever
has. How many people feel, and I don't think it's limited to yourself. Well, again, I'll do my petty little joke. I'll send you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny if you promise not to rip the cover off.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I would not.
All right. Well, thanks for an intelligent call. And this shows you, really,
I have to now blow my own listeners' horns. It just shows you the diversity of my listenership and how they transcend the stereotypes that so many people portray in the media about so-called conservatives. It's not a monolithic, group. Conservatives come in all different shapes, forms, sexualities, you name it. And it's really not about sexuality. This is the problem, is that so many people think that if you're conservative, you're anti-this or you're anti-that. I would turn it around. I'd say if you're conservative, you're pro-this and you're pro-that. That's what I would like to get across as a message. So what would my message be? Borders, language, culture. I defined that in 1994 as my message. And if I were running for office, which I am not doing because I consider my radio show my office, I'm a sort of member, what do they call it in England, without portfolio, kind of, I don't know what they say, what they call it. But I have no portfolio, but basically I am a politician. Make no mistake about it. Talk show hosts are unelected politicians. If you want to say that we're czars, you're wrong because we're not appointed by anybody. We establish ourselves based upon our wit and our wisdom or we don't exist. Let's be very clear about it. In other words, if talent still counts in America, then we count. The day they say the talent doesn't count, which is what they're doing on a daily basis, saying, oh, you have to have talk show hosts of a certain color, a certain race. Why? Why? Why must you? If they don't have an audience, why must you listen to them? Well, take a look at your universities today and you'll know the answer. Take a look at what's gone on because of this multicultural thinking. Take a look at what it's done. It's been decimating. It's decimated our universities. But I don't want to get too far off the topic. The fact of the matter is borders, language, culture is my motto, if you want to put it that way. It's what I stand for. I don't see why anybody could stand against that. I have no idea why that would not resonate with any American. Is there any American who thinks we should have open borders and have more MS-13 gang members in our cities killing innocent people? Excuse me, step up to the plate and tell me about that. Okay, so you agree with me that borders is a good motto, secure borders. Language. English only. I don't want to press one for English. I don't want to have to press anything for English. I come from immigrant parents. My father was certainly an immigrant who didn't speak English. He didn't tell me to learn my native language. I didn't go to school, to learn his native language. He didn't tell me to go to school and take a second language. English was never a second. What do you mean English is a second language? What do you think our schools are broke for? ESL? How many billions of dollars are wasted on this? On these programs. ESL? Are you crazy? English is the first language. Learn it or relegate yourself to second-class citizenship would be my description of what's going to happen to you. You're going to wind up in a secondary state in your life if you can't speak English properly. Every immigrant knows that. So borders, language, culture. What do I mean by culture? That's the one that everyone says, well, okay, now what do you really mean by culture? You can't figure out what the American culture is? Let's start with a simple statement. The U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Does that bother you? No. So if you believe in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, English as the language of the land, the glue that holds us together, and secure borders, then you actually are a good member of the Savage Nation. Welcome to Borders, Language, and Culture. You may find out that you really are a conservative after all. You don't have to define yourself as such, because I really don't even like the word conservative, to be frank with you. It's overused. It's underunderstood. It's too didactic. It's too simplistic. In fact, I remember when Nixon ran for office, when people started to describe themselves, they came out of the closet and said, oh, I'm a conservative. I rebelled against that label. I didn't like it. I thought that the word conservative per se was too self-satisfied. You hear what I just said to you? I don't think anyone who's considered a conservative in the media has ever said that because it's almost like you don't even understand what I'm saying. When people say, oh, I'm a conservative, it's sort of a too self-satisfied pat answer for who you are. So I've always defined myself, for 18 years in the radio at least, as an independent conservative. Now, many have followed, which is good. I'm a leader. I accept that. I'm a leader, period. Many people have followed me into battle. But the fact of the matter is, I don't like simple phrases for a human being. We're too complicated. We're too multidimensional to define ourselves with a single word. I'm a this, I'm a that. Well, I'm not a this or I'm not a that. Are you a this or an a that? You're a multifaceted individual. Now, politically in this country, unfortunately, because we live in a dumb country, there are only two parties. Yeah, the Europeans, to their credit, have many parties. At least you'd know Obama's a communist in Europe.
He'd be running on the far left. They don't call him communists anymore. They call him a social labor, this and that, or the Socialist Party in France. Obama's clearly a socialist by every definition. How in the world anyone in the comedia, that's very funny. Nice slip of the tongue. That'll be stolen tomorrow by somebody. How can anyone in the comedia, name anyone in the comedia, how can they not understand that we know that Obama's a socialist? He's defined himself as a socialist in every one of his policy statements, except recently when he's trying to pretend he isn't. But it's not playing very well. His audiences are half of what they were. So the comedia may do what they want, but the people are not laughing. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, here's an interesting email. I'm not going to name the person, but a friend in the media just sent me something from Gawker, website where the gay left is totally furious at Obama. They don't like his sort of flip-floppy statement on gay marriage. He says that gay couples should be able to marry, but Obama doesn't believe they have a right to do so. So therefore, they're saying it was equivocal. And they believe that Obama did this hastily in order to cover his back after Biden came out and put his foot in his mouth and his foot. Biden has foot and mouth disease, but the fact of the matter is Biden came out in favor of gay marriage. Well, because he believes in it, so he said what he believes in. So he put Obama in a very bad position because he was equivocating. It was yes, no, no, yes. So now the gay left is very angry at Obama for giving them a half measure. So it's a relentless situation here. You can't win. It's just a relentless situation for anybody in politics. You cannot win. When you have extremists and on any issue, they're never going to forgive you for whatever you do unless you do it their way. It's as simple as that. And trust me, in radio, we know it. You say one word, you're going to offend some. You're going to make others happy. Others don't know, you know, what you're talking about. Albany, New York, Jim, I hope you do. You're welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Great audience, Michael. I'm so impressed with some of your callers. It just blows me away. Anyway, I just wanted to
That's interesting. Which caller did you find most interesting today?
The last woman caller. I just totally agreed with her. She just nailed it right on the head. That woman
the lesbian conservative woman?
Yes, I agree with her 100%.
Well, if you want to meet her, then you'll come out to San Francisco and look for a woman walking around with a copy of two women walking around with a copy of A Trickle Down Tyranny, and then you may meet her.
Problems. Thanks anyway, Mike. But anyway, I agree with you about your point. I think Obama got backed into a corner because of his really clever vice presidential comment from Joe Biden. I think he's a total phony. Obama's a total phony. He was going to do this after the election, but now he got backed into a corner, so he had to come up with make his point across. And I think he just figures he's going to lose his left base if he doesn't act soon. So that's all it was. And I just think
you think he was just hastily pushed into this, taking this position, this equivocal position at that, by Biden's remarks in plain English.
So in the media was pressing him on it. And I think they were showing, you know, some of the media was actually saying to him, how can you, you know, not address this? And you've already said that you were against gay marriage. Now your vice president says that we're all for it.
Well, he said, I personally think same-sex couples should be able to get married. He didn't say that he's going to enact any legislation to that effect.
Exactly. I don't think true conservatives don't really care. We just don't want to redefine the term of marriage. That's the whole point. You know,
say that again. True conservatives don't care about sexual orientation. Is that what your premise is?
Exactly. We don't.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. It's exactly right. Who cares what anybody does sexually?
There's so many problems that we have between foreign policy and the Muslim extremists that want to destroy our culture, what you talk about, borders, language, and culture, pressing one for English. We're sick of that. You know, we're sick of that.
Right.
And everywhere
absolutely you go, right. There are so many issues that threaten our survival, and this is not one of them. Let me go on record. So many issues that threaten our survival as a nation and our individual freedoms, this is certainly not one of them. And I don't know why this has to come flaring up again. At this time. So I'm sending you Trickle Down Tyranny to think about it. Okay. 1-800-449-8255.
Great callers, really great callers on the Savage Nation. Indiana, Jason, welcome to the program. Which five topics are more important than gay marriage to you?
Well, I would start out with number one being the float is sticking your hands in what we should be doing with our children as far as, you know, telling what they should eat in schools. Next thing you know, they're going to be telling them what languages they should be speaking instead of English.
Oh, you mean the first lady's meddling in our daily lives?
Yes. Well, it's the job of the parents, not the government.
How about her extravagant Marie Antoinette-like behavior of traveling around the world on the public dime and pretending that she cares about the economy?
Out-of-control government spending, like the $800,000 Vegas trip with all the clowns and magicians and all that good stuff.
Well, the clowns and magicians should have stayed home and worked in the Department of Education where they belong.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to run along, but you're getting TDT. It's coming to you by mail. TDT. I got so many people emailing me saying, Michael, I'm going into the bookstores and rearranging them so that they're prominently displayed. I'm not letting them push them aside. I had a person come up to me at the in Florida at the Mar-a-Lago Club, one of my most loyal supporters. He wouldn't leave me alone. I love the guy. He said, I've gone into every store, and then they move your book the next day, and I go back, and I move it back. I love you, Michael. I'm one of your soldiers. I felt like saying, Milty, do me a favor. Buy five of them. What are you moving them around for? But I didn't say that to him because it's really not about buying them. It's about getting your ideas out, isn't it? This is the Savage Nation, where borders, language, and culture reign supreme. My website is michaelsavage.com. Every day, right here on your local affiliate. Savage.